July 29th, 2021. We're in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, and we're 9 lines from the bottom of the second word on the line, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer. But very briefly, just if you recall, the Gemara had been looking for a reason for 10 Pesukim, right? The reference of our Mishnah, and the next one as well, will be to those 10 Pesukim in the Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, those 3 Berachot, and the special Amidah of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. What's the reason for those 10 berachot? The Gemara gives several suggestions. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Hananel is the commentary you'll find on the left-hand side and bottom of the page oftentimes, not in all Masechtot, but in many Masechtot, he precedes Rashi, he precedes Tosafot, of course, he precedes even Harambam. In his commentary over here, all he really does, for our purposes, is quote from Talmud Yerushalmi. And interestingly, in Talmud Yerushalmi, initially it says, Hane'esem Malchiyot, which is what the Gemara that we had, Keneged Mi. Why was it that there are 10 Pesukim from Malchiyot? And the first answer was, it's the 10 Hallels of David. Remember, Hallelu, Beteka, Shofar, Benem, Vechino, and so forth. Then the Talmud Yerushalmi says, what about the 10 Zichronot? The Talmud Yerushalmi goes on and says, what about the 10 Pesukim that you have for Zichronot? The second part, or the fifth part of that Amida, the second part of the unique area. And Talmud Yerushalmi says, Keneged Asara Viduyin She'amar Yesha'aya. If you look in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yesha'aya, he cites a little bit of it. I guess Talmud Yerushalmi cites it. Rahazu, Rahatsu, Hizaku, Makiti Batre, Limedu Hetev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ishiru Hamot, Lechuna Venivakecha Vegomer. In other words, the Pasuk in Pesukim at the beginning of Sefer Yesha'aya describe 10 words and 10 methods through which you can and should do Teshuvah. For example, you should cleanse yourself, of course, not physical, but also physical. Hizaku, you should make sure that you're completely clean, and so forth. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Pesukim over there, it talks a lot about Ishiru Hamos. You should make sure that in matters of interpersonal situations, Ben Adam Lachavero, you have to make sure that you cleanse yourself. And then the Pesukim in Sefer Yesha'aya conclude and say, let's go out and see and realize that im yuhata achem katola kashele gelbino, if your sins are red as crimson, they'll turn red. In other words, when all of this settles, what Talmud Yerushalmi is suggesting is that on Rosh Hashanah, in Musaf prayer, when we have 10 Pesukim, our mindset, or the initial mindset, was one of Teshuvah, of doing right going forward, which is an interesting perspective, because if you think about Rosh Hashanah, we have no mention in the Slah at any point of actual Teshuvah. There's no vidui in Rosh Hashanah. We have loads of that on Yom Kippur. Interestingly, there's a different direction from Talmud Yerushalmi. Now, it's not explicit at any point. We're not actually saying viduyim in the Amidah, but what kind of underlies it is this unspoken nature of what's our direction, what are we thinking about. It's like Harambam says about Shofar. Shofar is not an absolute cry to us telling us do X, Y, and Z, but it's a general wake-up call for Teshuvah. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is this introduction to Kippur, where we'll do the formalized Teshuvah. Says Talmud Yerushalmi, you're already thinking about it in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Im Amar Shalosh Shalosh Mikulan Yasa. Right, the statement is, if you had 3 Pesukim in each, Yasa. But his words are 3-3. And the Gemara will have a safek when this reference, good morning, shave early. Do you have a wedding of some sort? That's something I didn't know about. So 3-3, what's 3-3 over here? Now again, ideally you're supposed to have 10 Pesukim, the Mishnah said. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says 3-3, Yasa. Says Gemara, what's 3-3? Iba'aya lehu. And there's a question. Hechi katane. Shalosh min haTorah, shalosh min haNeviim, veShalosh min haKetubim, deHavutesha veIka benay Hada. On the one hand, I can interpret the words of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as follows: 3-3 means 3 from each, Ketubim, Neviim, and Torah. In other words, the way you would structure the Amidat Filat Musaf, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is only disputing Chachamim on one pasuk, Ika, Yesh, Benayu, in between the two of them, one, in other words, whereas the Chachamim say 10 Pesukim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says 3-3 is sufficient. What's 3-3? three from Torah, three from Levim, three from Ketubim. What would they look like? It would be three Pesukim from the Torah that deal with Malchiyot, three from Levim that deal with Malchiyot, and three from Ketubim that deal with Malchiyot. Whereas the initial opinion says you have to have a 10 total. We'll discuss how you got to 10. Maybe Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri is just disputing one Pasuk. He's saying 3, 3, 3, 9. Odilma, or alternatively, maybe Ehad min HaTorah, Had mina nevim ve'had mina ketubim. Really, what Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri is not saying three sets of three. He's rather saying single sets of three. So three in Malchiyot, three in Shofarot, and three in Zichronot in the middle of it, the Havyan Lehu, Shalosh, that ultimately speaking, you'll be dealing with three Pesukim. And the Mahlok between Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri and Chachamim is one of seven Pesukim. Again, in terms of our Amidah, it's not going to elongate the prayer all that much. Ultimately speaking, even Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, if our Mishnah says, ideally you should have 10, I imagine we're dealing with a time during which the structured prayer is not exactly as we have it. They don't have a Sidur in the regular fashion. And as a result, you're to a large extent looking to piece it together. So as Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, according to the second version, three in each, a 9 total, not a 27 total, would be sufficient. V'ika benayu, v'yesh benehem, tuba, a lot. In other words, according to that rendition, there'd be a difference of 7 between Chachamim and Yohanan ben Nuri. That's the safek of the Gemara. Again, we started with iba'ayalehu. Iba'ayalehu means we have a question. We're uncertain. Is Yohanan ben Nuri saying 9 in each section is the lowest, is the bare minimum, or alternatively 3? Tashema, says the Gemara, we can bring a conclusive evidence from the Tanya, the following Beraita. Says the Beraita, initially, En pohatin me'asara melchiyot, me'asara zichronot, me'asara shofarot. That's the first opinion, the opinion of Chachamim. You should not have less than 10 pesukim in each of those three sections. Ve'imamar sheva mikulan, if you had a total of 21, meaning 7, 7, 7, yasa. Where'd you come up with the number 7? 10? We had beautiful interpretations. I even added one this morning. Where'd you come up with 7? Keneged shiv'a reki'in. The Gemara in Masechet Hagigah describes in a very mystical way that there are 7 layers to the heavens. Rakia, of course, is the upper realm, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates between lower and upper waters, and there's a Rakia that kind of intercepts them. There are 7 of those, according to mystical rabbinic lore. Well, that being the case, that's the 7. That's the first opinion. Hasn't proved anything for us. It just told us 10 maximum, 7 minimum. Excuse me, 10, the right amount, 7 minimum. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri amar, ha-pochet lo-yivchot mi-sheva. So his initial statement is countering the 10, right? 10, I'm okay if it's 7, he says. V'imamar shalosh mikulan, yasa. But if he just did 3, that's sufficient. Kenege Torah nevi'im ketubim. It seems quite clear, according to this Beraita, that Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri's opinion, if we're to equate it with his opinion on Mishnah, is that 3 is sufficient. 7 and 3. Ve'amre la keneged kohanim levim v'yisraelim. What's the number 3? Either Torah nevim ketubim, alternatively kohanim levim yisraelim. Okay, so what's the halakha l'ma'aseh? Ultimately speaking, when this mahlok it settles, amar Rav Huna, amar Shmuel, halakha k'Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. Halakha l'ma'aseh is like Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. Well, we have 2 versions of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri. We have in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri told us, ostensibly, 10 is ideal, 3 is sufficient. This Beraita, he seems to be telling us, 7 is ideal, 3 is sufficient. Which one is it? Well, I have told you already that we do the 10 business, but which one? How do we? Says Rashi, one word, Kirbi Yohanan ben Nuri, writes Rashi, one word, dematnitin. Dematnitin of our Mishnah, we're ending this issue with Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, who was mentioned in our Mishnah, whereas the Chachamim seemed unwavering in their solid opinion of 10. Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri said, listen, I think you should do 10. You can't do 10 for whatever reason. Structurally, your prayer is a little deficient. 3 would be okay. That's the halakha l'ma'aseh on this. Again, if you were to look at the Sidur, at the Mahsor of Rosh Hashanah, which we should do, we have one more sugya that specifically deals with these details, you'll notice we do it very much along the lines of what's being described over here. You'll have 10 pesukim in each of those sections. Question is, what sorts of pisukim? We know the basic sorts of pisukim, but will be even finer details the Gemara, the Mishnah, will describe to us in the ensuing lines and passages over here. And if you take a look at our tefillah, it's exactly as we have it today. It says the next Mishnah, en mazkirin, you may not, in the Amidah, tefillat musaf, malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot shel pur'anut. You should not mention in each of these segments, again, you're going to be looking for thematically appropriate pesukim. Pesukim that have to do with malchut, with the kingship of God. Pesukim that have to do with zichronot, which is with his memory, his thought of us. Pesukim which have to do with shofarot. Don't find pesukim that are pur'anut, that are negative, that deal with the punishment side of matters. Because you could find, and the Gemara will give us examples, pesukim that have to do with, ultimately speaking, the strength of God, his malchut, but then him taking it out, his wrath on us. Don't do that in Tefillat Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. That's not what you do. How should you, ultimately speaking, deal with these pisukim? Matchil batorah. Okay, so you start with pisukim from the Torah. Three pisukim from the Torah. Mashlim banavi. Mashlim means you fill it out. Which means to say, as Rashi explains, you went three Torah, three ketubim, four Nevi'im, according to this opinion. That's Mashlim. You close it out. You fill it out. You're number 10. Something strange about that. Generally speaking, we say Tanakh. We don't say Tachan. Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketubim. Why is the order reversed over here that Ketubim comes before Nevi'im? Tosafot, several of the other Rishonim asked this question. Tosafot suggests that the Pesukim from Ketubim that we're citing are generally speaking from Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim, the major author of Sefer Tehillim, although there are passages, Tefillah Moshe and B'nai Korach and so forth, but the major author is Tehillim is David HaMelech. That's what the Gemara Masechet Bava Batra says. So as a result, says Tosafot, Ketubim will take precedence over here to Nevi'im like Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Zechariah, who were after David HaMelech, who lived later. As a result, that's how the Slah will work as well. Torah, Ketubim, and then four of Nevi'im. Rabbi Yosei Omer? We need 10 total. Right, why not four Torah? Because the statement, umashlim banavi, that you fill it out, seems to tell us, it's not the misayim, it's not that you're finishing with Navi. If I say to you, and fill it out with this, it means that's going to have more, because it means I did three, and then close it out with that, that's the additional one. You'll see it more specifically, Rabbi Yosei Omer, im hishlim batorah yasah. So I imagine you could read it, I was going to prove it to you from there, you could read it differently, but here's the way they tell us to read it in the Gemara. Im hishlim goes like this, according to Rabbi Yosei, you did three Torah, three Ketubim, three Nevi'im, and then you finished with your final pasuk from Torah. Right? Now, his words in the Mishnah are yasa. When you use the word yasa, it sounds like not ideal. It's bidi'avad. The Gemara will say you're misreading that. Although it sounds that way, this is the ideal way to do it. Again, the ideal way to do it, three Torah, three Ketubim, three Nevi'im, and then finish it with one Torah. What are we talking about? Just again, Malchuyot, Malchiyot, Zichronot, Shofarot. In each of those sections, we're citing Pesukim. It's not all we do. Of course, we string them together in a poetic fashion in the prayer. But that's what's taking place. That's what in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, if you haven't noticed in the past, you'll notice it now. That's what's taking place in each of these passages. Says the Gemara, what sort of Pesukim of Pur'anut, of negative retribution, punishment areas are we dealing with? Give me some examples. Malchiyot. What's a mention of God's kingship, his monarchy, his strength, where it's negative, and we shouldn't. Kigon, for example, Hayani ne'uma Adonai Elohim im lo biyad hazaka u'bizroa netuya u'behema shefucha im lo chalechem. Pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, God's swearing, Hayani, anytime it starts with, by my life, it's a swear. What's it a description of? I'm going to take out my wrath. I'm going to really harm you guys. Zroa netuya, hema shefucha. Hema means anger. Zroa netuya, generally speaking, we say it's against our enemies. God's going to outstretch his proverbial arm. Over here, it's against us. Uli, and as a result, I don't want to mention that, but you're talking about the Malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Come on, that's not what. Ve'af al gav de'amar of Nachman kol ki hay ritha lertach kucha berichu alan ve'lif rokinan. And says the Gemara, it's true. Af al gav is an apology, even though Rav Nachman has this interesting statement. Kol ki hay, any of this type, ritha means anger. Any of this type of anger, lertach kucha berichu alan. Let God be angered at us in such a way. Why? What are you talking about? Ve'lif rokinan, and as a result, we'll get. Purkan, what's Purkan? Redemption. In other words, it's true when the teacher is yelling at you and whatever, sometimes you got to go through that. You have to go through that in order to, wrong example. When you're training, you have to go through the pain and the sweat and whatever, but ultimately speaking, it's going to raise me up. I'll take that pain and suffering and blood and sweat and whatever in order to get to where I want to get. So Rav Nachman's statement is, don't get too depressed when you read this pasuk. Understand that ultimately speaking, it's going to be positive for us. It's going to bring us to redemption, not in the sadistic way that you need to be pained in order to get there. In the reality way, that's just the way of the world. Sometimes difficulty, sometimes, oftentimes, leads to ultimate redemption. Okay, wait a second. If that's the case, so then put it in the tefillah of Musaf. I don't understand. In other words, what's so negative about it? So it sounds bad. It's a temporary difficulty and negativity. Ultimately speaking, it's leading me to Purkan. Kevan de beritha amur, says the Gemara. Nonetheless, since we're dealing with ritag, and the toh literally means to burn, but what we're referring to is anger, adkure means to mention, lahaskir, ritha beresh shata, to mention anger, beresh shata means a year, at the beginning of the year, meaning on Rosh Hashanah, la madkirinan, we do not want to mention. So the statement really is, okay, I mean, you could talk about the difficulty of training and all that goes into it, whatever, but I'm talking about my moment of grandeur and splendor. I want to talk about all my positive sides. I don't want to talk about every time I fell right now. I don't want to talk about all the difficulties that go into this. I want to be proud of my accomplishment. That's Rosh Hashanah. It's true. This type of statement in the Gemara, that we mention the positive things on Rosh Hashanah, we're all familiar with. That's the simanim that we do on each of the nights of Rosh Hashanah. Go ahead.
It's because the individual is going to mention anger and then what? Get down.
And then be depressed? It's certainly in my mind a psychological thing, and I'm gonna now go further with that in terms of the eating of those foods on the nights of Rosh Hashanah. The eating of the foods is not, and Meiri writes this explicitly because many misunderstand this, is not that by eating these foods I get a good year. There's no such thing as such a reality in Judaism and Torah and relationships and so forth. There's no such thing as a quick fix. It's alternatively a psychological reality. So I'm eating these foods, I'm mentioning what I'm looking forward to, the positive year that I'm going to have, the appropriate relationship with God, and in turn, this is going to engender something positive. It's the same thing over here. Don't mention these things. Not because these things will be damning to you. It's that by thinking about these things, what sort of year are you now setting forth for yourself? Zikaron, or when it comes to zichronot, what sort of negative pesukim do you have with regards to zichronot? Kegon, vayizkor ki basar hema. This is Pasuk in Tehillim, Ruach Holech V'lo Yashuv, in which God is remembering all our mistakes along the travels in the Midbar. Okay, so God's memory of our mistakes is not what we're looking forward to. I say it all the time, Zichronot is an ironic thing on Rosh Hashanah. We want him forgetting, we don't want him remembering. Okay, we want him remembering the positive things, not the negative things. Shofar, kigon, tik'u shofar bagiv'a v'gomer. This is a pasuk in Hosea, which is talking about how you're sounding the shofar because the enemies are coming to attack. In other words, we're about to get destroyed. Sound the shofar, get the people ready, get them realize. That's not a positive shofar. We want shofar of coronation. We want shofar of atonement. We want shofar of Mashiach, shofar of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Not shofar of you're about to get decimated. Aval im ba lomar malchut zikaron v'shofar shel pur'anut shel ovdei kochavim. Of course, well, any good Jew, and our Talmud is good Jews, knows that if it's a mention of the negativity to the surrounding nations who are giving us sorrows, of course, in such a circumstance, Omer, we're coming fresh off of Tshabav, where you know the part, the only part we really all know is Ba'agada. Ever read the words of what we're reading in there? We're talking about absolutely crushing our enemies. Right? You have to. I imagine as we read this, is years of blood, and we're thinking about all that went on throughout the year and throughout our lives. Well, thinking about crush, okay, it's the same thing over here. So the statement over here in turn is, those who have given you difficulty. So if your perspective now in reciting Pesukim, which talks about the nekama, the retribution, the punishment to the non-Jews who have given you problems, okay, maybe you would say it's not appropriate for this day. Let's only think positively. Maybe this is appropriate. Says the Gemara, it is. Malchut kigon Adonai malach yirgizu amim. Right, it talks about God's kingship, and it says yirgizu amim. All the nations are going to tremble. They're going to, what's the word? Quiver, quake, whatever. What's that?
Tremble.
Tremble, good, even better. Ukigon Adonai malach olam right, God's ability to be king, and in turn, avedu goyim me'arso, those non-Jews, those nations who cause problems, will be lost from the land. That's melech, that's malchut. Zikaron kegon zechor Adonai libne Edom. Very appropriate for Chabav. This is from Al Naharot Bavil. We turn to God and we say, remember the Edomites, those from Edom, because you know what they did? As the Bavlim were destroying Jerusalem and kicking us out, they said to them, aru, aru ad hayesodba. They said, dig down, get to the very foundations of the city of Yerushalayim, of the Mikdash, and absolutely decimate it. We turn to God in Al Naharot Bavel, and we say, Zechor Hashem, remember what those Edomim did, and you know, and kill them. Shofar, kigon, vadunai Elohim bashofar, yitaka vehalach besa'arot teman. Did I read that properly? Bashofar yitka vehalach besa'arot teman uchtiv Adonai Sevaot yagen alehem. So the pasuk again is in the context of sounding the shofar in order to take care of those who caused us problems, and God in turn, or in contrast, will have hagana, he'll have protection over us. Okay, that is, go ahead, son.
Framework for the Chazan or the reader to not use, like, it's up to the Chazan to choose Pesukim and don't choose.
Right, it's not fully clear who's choosing these Pesukim. It's certainly prior, again, it's prior to a formalized text. Now, the general text, the 10 Pesukim and how it's going to look, is clearly there. How are they determining this? I'm not fully certain. I'm not sure anyone's fully certain. In other words, I don't think they had, I'm quite certain they didn't have texts that they were giving out. I'm not sure that it was up to the creativity of the Chazan as much as the community had a general tradition on this, and there were large swaths of traditions, you know, of community here. What's that?
I think I might ask you to say the Pesukim.
It wasn't yet fully formalized. So they're still talking about a time where it was somewhat in flux, which, again, is very foreign to us, you know, to say the least. I've said on many occasions, there's a fascinating reality in terms of our prayer. Prayer generally, formalization of anything to the world and certainly to Judaism, takes place after times of rupture. When you have exile and you're trying to solidify yourself, that's when you structure something. Sidur happened, we came back to Eretz Yisrael, there's a fear that we're losing the tradition, we'll be about whatever. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, as we leave Israel, okay, let's structure this, let's get it together, let's make sure we have this formalized. It's at major junctures. Shulchan Aruch is after the exile from Spain and Portugal. It's mid-16th century. Let's formalize this. Let's bring the people together. Sidur, let's bring the people together. Many, if not all of these structured things, even, you know, even American law, many of the fundamental laws that we have didn't just happen during times of peace and serenity. Let's get together and talk about our ideals. There was something crazy that took place, and the Supreme Court, the government comes together and says, well, let's formalize something. So you have that over here. But the fascinating reality is that you lose something when you formalize. You lose the organic side, the personal side, the spontaneous side. All right, you know, we have
sacrifice. So some schools require curriculum specific. Some will say just teach.
Yeah.
Whatever, and then it's
a great example, and there's dangers in each one, right? In other words, talk about education. Education, you have a curriculum, Fantastic. Now I know what's taking place across the board. You've stunted if you have a talented teacher or talented students or something that could go out of it. Of course, you're going to give a certain ability for them to speak out of it and to teach out of it, but you've stunted a certain aspect of it. There's always that balance and counterbalance. I gave a class on Chabav last year. I called it the tragedy of texts. It was exactly this. Texts are necessary. We're very happy we have Talmud because of Galut, because of Itla, Asot, Ladonai, Heferu, Toratecha. We needed it to put down in words, otherwise we'd be utterly lost. But can you imagine if we continued the oral tradition? Can you imagine if we were only continuing that now in terms of the creativity and the inspiration and the growth that could have blossomed and burgeoned? All right, it's always the sacrifice you deal with. I mean, you have it really in anything and everything you think about, even in your businesses and anything and everything. There's always that schism, that contrast between the two. Okay, says the Gemara onward, En mazkirin zikaron shel yahid va'afilu letoba. And see, in these mentions, you could, technically speaking, talk about God's remembering of a single individual. Maybe it would be appropriate for the tefillah. No. We want remembering the kelal, the nation. This is not about individuals. This is about the nation. It's about Am Yisrael. For example, Kigon, Zochreni Adonai Breson Amecha. Pasuk says, God, remember me. Who's speaking? David HaMelech, ostensibly. Inappropriate. Okay, David, it's a beautiful statement for you. Not for our tefillah as a nation. Ukigon. And for example, another singular one, Zochra Li Elohai letoba. Not right. It's a fantastic statement. It's a good story. It's something to be inspired by. It's not for our tefillah. Our tefillah is the national collective, Rabim Zichronot. Piktonot. What about when, instead of using the word zikaron in the Torah uses the word pikadon, which we generally say is synonymous. Says the Gemara, harehen kezichronot. They're identical to zichronot. You can use, according to this opinion, the word pikadon that's used in a pasuk as part of your zichronot. Kigon vadonai pakad et Sarah. Pasuk describes how God remembered Sarah, and she has a child whose name is Yitzhak. Ukigon pakod pakadeti etchem. That's a pasuk with regards to leaving Egypt. And Shemot Peregimal, God tells Moshe, tell the people, I've remembered you. This opinion is Divrei Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose's opinion is those pesukim could be used as part of zichronot. We're not posek that way. We go like this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, enan ke zichronot. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, doesn't make the cut. Why doesn't it make the cut? What's the difference? When it came to Malchiyot, we used Pesukim in which we talked about Hashem Elokim. Hashem Elokim doesn't mention the word Malchut. We say Elokim means strength. It's the same thing as monarchy. Over here, all of a sudden, no, Zikaron is there. What's the difference between Zikaron and Pikadon? Maharsha suggests there's a fundamental difference. He says they're very similar, but they're not identical. He says Pikadon is short term. Pikadon is something I remember now, in this moment. Zikaron is something eternal. I remember people saying this about the people who are in the middle on the establishment of the State of Israel. They say, is this a messianic act in 1967 and 1948? The claim has been made. This is a pikadon. We now feel that God is imminent and he is thinking about us. Is this a zikaron? Is this something that's eternal? Oh, only time will tell. You know, that's the difference between zikaron and pikadon. In turn, when it comes to Tefillat Musaf and Oshana, we're talking about God's remembrance of us, his memory. Oh, we want to talk about the eternal, the long-lasting one. Okay, says the Gemara, Ulur Biyose Nehiname de Piktonot Haren Ke Zichronot. And says Gemara, but wait a second, Biyose, you told us, okay, Zicharon is the same thing as Pikadon. You gave us two examples. What was the first one? Vadonai Pakadet Sarah? That's not a good pasuk, because that pasuk is talking about a individual. So you have a separate issue, okay? So it's Zicharon, makes the cut on that, doesn't make the cut on being a national memory, Pikadon the Ahidu. How could that be an appropriate pasuk because of the other issue of it being an individual? Answers the Gemara, Kevan de Atur Rabim Mina, Kerabim Damya. Since ultimately speaking, from Sarah, she is the matriarch, with capital T and M, of Am Yisrael. She's the M of Yitzhak, who in turn gives birth to Yaakov and so forth. Well, that being the case, we imagine her as this memory, not just being about Sarah or Abraham, but being national. Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim is the same statement. The Avot's actions we envision, we internalize as something which was national, not just individual. Okay, Se'u She'arim Ra'ashechem V'naseu Pitchei Olam Ve'avo Melech HaKabod. Mi Ze Melech HaKabod? Adonai Izuz V'Gibor. Adonai Gibor Milchama. Se'u She'arim Ra'ashechem V'su Pitchei Olam Ve'avo Melech HaKabod. Mi Hu Ze Melech HaKabod? Adonai Tzvaot Melech HaKabod Se'la. Two pesukim. Let's go through them very quickly again. How many, quote unquote, malchiyot, can you count in each of these pesukim? In other words, you're citing a pasuk, and we're playing this number game. You need to get up to the number 10. So we want to know if you're going to quote this pasuk, which we do in our Amidah, how much does it count us? Rishona shetayim sheniyah shalosh. The first opinion, Divrei Rabbi Yosef, first opinion says, let's go through these pesukim one more time. Se'u she'arim Ra'ashechem V'naseu Pitchei Olam Ve'avo Melech HaKabod. That's the first mention of Malchut. Mi ze Melech HaKabod, second mention of Malchut. Adonai Yezuz V'Gibor, Adonai Gibor Melchama. So that first pasuk counts as two mentions of Malchut, two of your ten. The second pasuk, Se'u she'arim Ra'ashechem V'naseu Pitchei Olam Ve'avo Melech HaKabod, number one. Mi ze Melech HaKabod, number two. Adonai Tzvaot. Hu Melech HaKabod. That's three. Says Rabbi Yosef, quote those two pesukim, and you got number five right there, technically speaking. I mean, you're not going to go up to five in Ketubim, but okay. That's Divrei Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda, come on. Says Rabbi Yehuda, let's listen to those pesukim again. There's a rhetorical question in there. The rhetorical question is, Mi Hu Ze Melech HaKabod? It's a question. Who is the King of glory, of honor? That's not a mention of God's kingship. That's a rhetorical question. You can't count that. And as a result, pasuk number one counts as one. Pasuk number two counts as two. Rabbi Yehuda omer rishona ahat sheniya shetayim. Okay, next mahlokot, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. These are mahlokot, again, that ultimately speaking, as they construct our sidur, came into play. We're posek lahalacha on each of these, like Rabbi Yehuda, that rishona, excuse me, on this one we're posek like Rabbi Yosef, rishona shetayim, sheniya shalosh, that it would be counted in such a way. Zameru Elohim Zameru, Zameru lemalkenu, Zameru, ki melech kol haaretz Elohim. So again, this pasuk is mentioning the malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, and the pasuk says, Zameru Elohim, Zameru, Zameru lemalkenu, Zameru. How many is this one going to count as? First opinion, Shetaim divrei Biyoseh. Bilda omer, Ahat. So what's the dispute over here? The pasuk says, Zameru Elohim, Zameru, Zameru lemalkenu, Zameru. And then the pasuk says, Ki melech kol haaretz, Elohim, Zameru maskil. So how many is this one going to count as? Either two or one. What's the mahloket about? What are they disagreeing about in such a situation? Says Rashi, Zameru lemalkenu, three lines from the top, Lo kahashiv Rabbi Yehuda. That second mention of Zameru lemalkenu is not counter for Rabbi Yehuda. De la amlichte ela al uma ahat. That pasuk is talking about God's kingship over us. That's not sufficient. When we talk about Malchut, we're talking about God being king over the entire land. Over here, you mentioned Malkenu, our king. Not sufficient. That won't count according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vishavin, and the two of them, both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, agree that the next pasuk, Malach Elohim al Goyim, Elohim Yashav al Kise Kevodo, al Kise Kocho, Shehi Ahat. Maybe that pasuk should count as two. Malach Elohim, and then Yeshiva al Kise Kocho. Why does it count as only one? So the answer is because the Kise Malchut is not mentioned as Kise Malchut, as the throne of kingship, or rather the throne of Kedusha, and well, that's sanctity. What's that?
Is that us, Kedusha? So that's just limiting enough the world?
Oh, is that the point? I thought the point is just you're talking about God's sanctity, you're not talking about his strength.
Yeah, but when we talk about Kedusha, it's always talking about...
Separate,
which is Am Kadosh, is us.
Potentially.
Limiting, like, the other one is...
I got you. You're equating it to the earlier one. I don't know if you need to do that over here. Over here, it might be just the Kodesh, because keep in mind there was Mahlok right, about the other one. It's limiting God. Right. So it's not just Kedusha. Okay. I guess we'll stop over here. We'll continue in the rest of these Mahlokot tomorrow and go on. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.